which you know, they use the military to do their own prophesying. But they destroy the land, they destroy the water. And a message to our own government is that if we, as long as our super fund continues to invest in Freeport MacMillan mine, we're actually paying for it. We're actually complicit in what is happening. There's a whole lot more that could have been done. I wasn't prepared for this meeting and done some research. But if you look into the role of corporations, you'll see what's really happening in West Papua.
Thanks a lot. Anyone else that would like to say a few words? I think it's really important what Lois just highlighted around the environmental construction, not only the Freeport Refined Mine, but also the deforestation and construction of the rainforest in Manila, which also leads on to continued development.
Regional relationships, but trade sacrificed to ethics is a shameful trade. And when the Prime Minister went to Jakarta, I urged him to raise the issue of human rights abuses in West Papua, and he said there was a discussion with the Indonesian President. However, the comment the Prime Minister made was that the President of Indonesia was doing the best he can. Well, I'd like to see what his worst looks like, because actually what's happened since has been a series of killings, a series of arrests, and a series of violence against citizens, which is perhaps the worst violence in West Papua for 12 years. And they haven't had a time of peace yet since the Dutch left, since they lost the ability to determine their own future when the UN and Indonesia colluded to make West Papua part of Indonesia. So we have seen a lot of struggle, and I think it's really important that that gets raised in the New Zealand Parliament today. I think it's really important that we challenge the Defence Force about Ko Pasas, and I think it's really important that we keep naming the names and telling the stories. As Liz said, Liz and I had the privilege of going with Mari Ledbetter from the Indonesian Human Rights Committee, who is a champion of human rights in this country. Elsie Locke's daughter, Keith Locke's sister, a family who have stood up for justice all their lives. And Mari, Liz and I were in Australia, where we met with a number of West Papuans, and I had the privilege of going to Canberra, where I'm a member of a group called International Parliamentarians for West Papua. Now that group also includes the International Lawyers for West Papua, and the person who represents them is Jen Robinson, who is also Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks lawyer. So we have global experts working with us on this issue. And what Jen Robinson told me was, there is no legal case for the continued occupation of West Papua. There is no legal case for the continued imprisonment and human rights abuses of West Papuans. So at Canberra, it was very interesting because the Labour Party didn't want their members coming along to our cross-party meeting and tried to stop them. Their foreign affairs spokesperson tried to stop them. So that tells you that the Australian government and the New Zealand government are also working with Indonesia to maintain the repression that is going on daily in West Papua. And as Liz said, it's not just about torture and violence, it's also about poverty. People, children have actually died of hunger because of the absolute stress and broken nature of what's happening in West Papua. There is actual hunger, there is HIV is rife, and of course we cannot deal with those issues in an occupied state. We cannot deal with those issues without the International Red Cross and without health workers having free access. So women in particular, women and children, as always, are suffering from the results of the military violence, from the lack of access to their own rights. And a small story. Because New Zealand's changed our policy around foreign aid, one of the organisations was helping to fund a marketplace with a roof over it for women in Jayapura. But because of New Zealand government changing their position on trade, that money was withdrawn. And so these women now sit in the street with no covering over them and sell their goods, while the Indonesian traders have a roof over their head. So we've all lived, some of us who are older, we've lived through apartheid in South Africa, we've lived through the issues in our own country around colonisation. Why would we collude with the colonisation of another country and with a citizenship being divided from their own access to their own land and their own rights? As Paula Makabori said, now Paula Makabori is a refugee from West Papua in Melbourne, and she's come to Aotearoa a number of times to work with us, and as Paula said, what we want for West Papua, our vision, is a country open to the world. We are the bird of paradise. We are the head of the bird. We have a beautiful country full of rare species, species that have not even been discovered exist in some of the remote parts of West Papua. The tropical rainforest is a paradise, but we cannot go there and visit safely. They cannot safely welcome us as the tangata whenua of that place, and they cannot maximize the fact that they have those beautiful resources because they are being logged, milled and mined by foreign companies assisted by Indonesia. Now the reason Indonesia's in West Papua is all to do with Freeport McMoRan. Freeport McMoRan mine was opened even before the Indonesian government took formal control of West Papua. And Freeport is one of the biggest golden copper mines in the world. It's a vast series of mines which you can Google. It's a frightening sight, and there's been a lot of violence around it because Freeport represents the degradation of the people of West Papua's resources and their lack of control over those resources. So Freeport is near the town of Timikau, where two brothers, who were doing a traditional challenge without weapons, were shot on Friday. So Freeport is very much a live issue, and our super fund invests in Freeport, which is a shame and a disgrace. New Zealand government should immediately disinvest any funds that are involved with Freeport. Freeport is one of the living and weeping sores of injustice on our planet. The tailings from the dam have destroyed many, many rivers and many, many communities. My friend Paula went and looked at the health issues and the associated issues of being around that huge mine. There's two villages there. You can Google it, you can see it. You can see a village for the rich, set in the jungle, where they fly in all the workers, and they live in flash houses, the management. And then you see what the West Papuan workers go through, and what they're subjected to in terms of rights. And Freeport workers recently went on strike, because in that country they get far less than Freeport mine workers in any other part of the world. And so that strike was maintained for a very long time. These are brave people. Like all people, all they want is peace and justice. And all they want is that their beautiful country, with its amazing natural resources and biodiversity, can become a place to welcome visitors, to sustain their own traditions, to live within their own cultural tikanga and practice. And they will never give up. It doesn't matter how many people are expelled from West Papua, they will never give up. Now, we met some of the young men who left West Papua in a boat, and they travelled across, about 40 of them. They basically got in a boat and escaped because otherwise they would go to prison, and they travelled to Australia where they are trying to survive. But it's very difficult for people who are surviving outside their own country, because every day the news comes through of yet another hurt and another killing and another arrest, and these are their families. Imagine if it was our families. If our families every day were disappearing or being subjected to torture and violence, I don't think we would be silent. And what we would look to would be the international community. And they have asked us time and time again that the international community reminds Indonesia of its responsibilities. And you are doing that today. And so that's why this has been a very worthwhile experience. Because silence is consent. And we must not be silent on this issue anymore. Because for every reason, for social, cultural, and environmental reasons, but for the sake of human rights and justice, most of all, we must stand up in support of West Papua, and we must call for peace. There is no shame in admitting Mr. Consul, that you are wrong. This is your inconvenient truth. West Papua is your inconvenient truth. And there is no shame in admitting that your story has failed and that your reputation is suffering. There is no shame in saying we have done wrong. I'm a Pākehā. In this country, my culture has done wrong and we are trying to make amends, some of us. So it's not difficult to admit that we're wrong when we can see a pathway forward. The opportunity is for respect and respectful relationships. And in that respect, we can come together and find a way through, a peaceful way through for West Papua. But as long as people continue to be killed, we cannot respect your position. And we ask you sincerely to change it and to join us in our work for peace. Mēdī kā.